Such an honor to speak tonight. We're on Legacy Month, and as I was praying and preparing, I just really felt the Lord drop in my spirit that we don't talk enough about eternity. And so I'm going to speak about the legacy of our eternity. How many of you know this is just, we're just a pilgrim. We're just passing through. In fact, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm for sure just a pilgrim because I have the worst allergies on earth. I do. I'm allergic to everything, and I can't figure out what it is. So I figure I'm just allergic to this world, and I can hardly wait to go be with my Lord. But, you know, there's a job, of course, that we do in Victory Outreach. We're hard workers. We work hard. We work on the front lines. We reach souls. We go places where people, most people don't want to go. It's our passion. It's what we do. But once in a while, we need to stop. And we need to realize who we're doing this for. And we need to think about that. That we're not just serving God on earth to serve him. But we are actually serving God because one day we're going to be with him. And I think so many times we get caught up in the mundane of life. And we forget to think like that. I don't know about you, but I do. Get busy, wake up in the morning. Your first thing, of course, is prayer. You give God your 5 minutes of fire, maybe, or 10 or 20 or, I don't know, hopefully more. But you just give God something. And then you get into your word and 5 minutes of fire again, 10 minutes maybe. And it becomes routine. But how many of you know we're in a relationship? And this relationship can go as deep as you want it to go. And if you're not hungry for God, then you'll never be hungry for heaven. And you have to be hungry for God. And I pray that stirred within you. The scripture that I'm going to use tonight, or one of them, usually we use this scripture for funerals, but I want you to have a different perspective on it tonight. Amen. It's found in Philippians 1:22. It says, to live is Christ, for to me to live is Christ. He is my source of my joy, my reason to live, and to die is gain, for I will be with him in eternity. And that's such a powerful scripture, and we use this usually for funerals. By the way, thank you, honey, for having me speak tonight. We use this because we know that in this present life, it's amazing to serve God and to be blessed, but to be with him is gain. You've gained it. You've won the race. You've finished it. And so many times, we just think we're in this race for the now, but we're in the race for the then. Jesus is coming. He's coming for a people. We're that people. And we have to begin to think like that. We're living in a time, in an hour, where our focus needs to change and it needs to begin to shift to think about the return of Christ. Jesus is coming soon. I feel convicted to tell you that with passion, that Jesus is coming soon. Soon and very soon. When I was a baby Christian, we used to sing that song, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. And I remember singing that song with passion and thinking, one day we are going to see the King. But then we get busy. Life happens. Situations happen. We get sick. Our grandsons break their legs. Things happen. You have to go to get surgery. You're sick. Things happen. And then you begin to think less and less of those beautiful promises of the legacy that God has for you. See, your suffering is just temporary. It's just temporary. It's a temporary thing because one day, everybody say one day, we're going to see the King. Amen? That's an exciting thing to think about. I've been thinking a lot about this lately, of course, because I'm dealing with a mom who's elderly, and Pastor Charles and Lena know this experience right now. As your parents get older, you begin to think, are they ready for heaven? You know, have they taken care of business? I know Pastor Charles' parents are because they've been on fire from day one. But I know my mother, you know, she struggled in her life. And she had a rough life. And I can see the process of healing within her life. And God is really taking her through a beautiful healing. He's getting her ready. And the other day, my sister told me about a dream my mom has had twice in a row. And it's a dream of where she's swimming across this river of milk and honey. Beautiful dream. And she says, but I can't get across. I can't get across. I keep waking up and I want to get across. And I know what God is doing. He's preparing her. But you know what the beautiful thing is? My mother never swam on earth. She doesn't even know what that feels like. She doesn't know what swimming feels like and the desire to get across or to keep going. But God, he's so good in preparing her that he's given her these visions and these dreams, and he's preparing her. And every time I'm with her, I'm praying over her mind and over her heart, and I see God doing a beautiful work within her life. She is every day getting more and more ready. But it really makes me begin to think, you know, how many people are really, really ready? Now, I'm not talking about works. You can't get there with works. There used to be a song there, you can't get there on roller skates, you can't get there in your limousine, you can't get there in your fancy, whatever. You can't get in like that. It's only through Jesus. It's in serving and surrendering to Jesus, our Savior. And that really is a life process. You begin your life in Christianity and you say, Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. But then he starts causing circumstances to test that, to see if you really want him to be the Lord of your life. And it's in that time that you have to choose to say, yes, I want you to be the Lord over that. Even though I don't understand it, I want you to be the Lord over my life in that area. Even though I don't see you in it, I want you to be the Lord of my life in that situation. And he wants us to begin to think about eternity in a different way, that it's a place where we're all going soon and very soon, and there is not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more bills. There's not going to be any more drama. There's just going to be peace. Can you imagine your life in total 100% peace? That's amazing. That's an amazing thought. And as human beings, we can't even wrap our head around it, because I don't think sometimes we can stay peaceful for very long. Too many things rile us up. And God wants us to get to a place where we're still in knowing that he is God. You see, on earth, I have the ultimate blessed life. I have the best husband in the absolute whole world, period. Best. Sorry, ladies, but he is the best. And the most handsome, and the most loving, and the most kind, and the most gracious and giving, and he really spoils me. My girls go, Mom, you're so spoiled. I go, girl, I worked hard for this. Don't you dare call me spoiled. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city. Come on. I'm blessed. He's blessed. He's blessed to have me. Yeah, he is. It works both ways. Amen. And on this earth, God has given us the privilege to be blessed in a beautiful marriage of 41 years. Yeah, it was rough, but it was all right. It's all right. God turns everything around. And then he blessed me to be a mom. 16 years old, I started being a mom. I didn't even know what that meant. And God blessed me with four beautiful daughters that I mothered. And I, by the grace of God, they turned out all right. Amen. I didn't choke any of them, even though I was young enough to do that. Felt like they were my sisters sometimes instead of my kids. And then he let me be a grandmother. I feel like being a grandma is just like blessing us for being a mom, for enduring motherhood, for going through all that we went through, dad, you know, for dads as well, letting us be grandparents to children. We thought we couldn't love any greater than our children till our grandchildren came. And then it quadrupled. It's off the charts, the love for our grandchildren. I mean, it's so much so that all Goosey had to say was, Nons, I want some bizcochitos, and I want some no-bakes in his hospital bed. And what did I do today? I baked. I baked for that baby boy. Because he's my joy, and he acts like a little baby right now. And really, he is. He's only 12. He's in a big man's body, but he's only 12. And I forget that sometimes. And just to see the smile on his face. And then I bought him a little monkey card that shoots flowers at him. And he's like, oh, I like my card. I mean, he's just joyful. We get to do that as grandparents, right? Our kids, we corrected them. We said, no, you don't. No, we laid down the law. Our grandkids, what do you want? Anything I could afford. Whatever you want. But the joy of being a grandparent, the joy of serving in ministry, what a privilege, an absolute privilege that I get to serve in ministry. I do this every day, and not one day is it a burden, because I get to do this. God has chosen me to love his people and to serve his people and to disciple them. And it's a heavy responsibility, but I'm honored that God has chosen me to do this. God has chosen us to love the lost. Victory Outreach, we have a special anointing for that. Not very many people want to love the lost. They've been cast out as, you know, hopeless. Their families have said, I'm done with them. But God is so good that he's given us that burden. So, baby, as much as I love you and as much as a great life as you have given me and are giving me and the wonderful leadership leader you are in my life, I love Jesus more. And I want to see him. I want to see him. And I think that's the beautiful thing about marriage, is that it makes you long for your Creator. Because the Bible says as we grow to become one, as we seek the Lord, we grow and become one. And it's like the more we grow in our marriage, the more we want to see the Father. Because what is this love all about? This is a great thing that God has given to us. My soul yearns for God. My soul yearns to see him face to face. Does your soul yearn for him like that? That in the morning you wake up, you don't go into prayer because you have to, because it's your religious duty, but because you get to. Because you get the privilege of coming before the Father and making your request known to him. But not just a request, just telling him, good morning, I love you. I'm so grateful that you gave me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, and I don't even deserve to be able to come before you. But thank you for your grace. I can hardly wait for that day when we can walk those streets of gold. Have you ever seen anything as beautiful as what heaven is being talked about? How it's going to be? Streets of gold, ivory towers, pillars of, we can't even imagine the waters and the glory of the flowers and the colors. They say people that have those experiences where they have a near-death experience, they say the colors in heaven are majestic. We don't even know what they look like. We can't comprehend them on earth. All we know is the colors that we see. But in heaven, the colors are endless. There's something so precious that we're going to be able to see. But the more than that, there's a song that says, I want to see Peter, I want to see Paul, but I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see him face to face. I want to fall at his feet and worship him, because I'm a worshiper. I love to worship God. And I want to fall at his feet and I want to worship him and praise him for all eternity. I want to talk to Paul, my hero. I love Paul. Paul is my absolute hero of the Bible, because he's the most transformed person in the Bible. He was a wicked, wicked man who killed Christians and became the greatest apostle of all. The greatest. I want to sit and talk to him and ask him questions. I want to learn. We're going to learn. We're going to keep learning. It's not over here. We're just preparing. And the structure that we experience on earth is just teaching us for structure in heaven. There'll still be structure in heaven. The Bible talks about it, the elders and all the structure of heaven. It's going to be beautiful and it's going to be amazing. But we have to begin to think about it now. We have to begin to prepare our hearts now. We have to ask God, God, is the junk out of my life? Are there things, you're sitting in church tonight, but are you just sitting here? Or are you truly wanting everything that God has? See, coming to church shouldn't be a religious experience. It should be a supernatural transformation. Every single service should be a supernatural transformation of your faith. Every time you come to the altar, there should be a growth within your life. There should be a conviction to do more for God and to allow him in a little deeper. Our ultimate legacy is being the bride of Christ. But the Bible says that in being the bride of Christ, he's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He wants to iron you out. Get those wrinkles out. Get those spots off of you. And that's what grace is all about. That's what he's doing right here, right now. We're in school. We're in the Holy Ghost school preparing for heaven. And every opportunity is a chance to change and grow. And believe me, it's not easy to grow, right? Think about when you were a teenager, to be stretched and to grow and your bones to be stretched and to grow. And it wasn't an easy thing. Our faith is somewhat like that. We're going to go through things, but that's going to cause us to go to the next level. Or it'll cause us to go back. If you're not going forward, you're going back, period. So every day you have to ask God, I want to go forward. I want to go forward, God. I want to go forward. God wants us to start to think heavenly like never before, but with a balance, because we can't be so. I know there's some Christians that are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. In other words, they're so spiritual. Ooh, super holy. Wow, you know, superstitious, or not superstitious, mystical. Mystical, I mean, everything is just, ooh, ooh, that bird. Yeah, it was the Holy Ghost this morning. Came and landed on my shoulders, you know, so dramatic. Girl, all you had to do is pray and the Holy Ghost would be there. Come on. Don't get so mystical. It's simple. Jesus made it simple. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're seeking him. You're walking in his ways. You're walking in truth. Then you're going to have life. Amen? Mm-hmm. But he is asking for us to pay more attention. A famous quote that I once heard said, plan like you have 100 years to live on earth, but live like he's coming tomorrow. So it's okay to plan. It's okay to prosper. It's okay to work. It's okay to be blessed. You just heard me say that. I'm blessed. But not to think that's all there is in life. That's not it. There is so much more. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-4 says, the day of the Lord now, as the times and dates, brothers and sisters, you have no need for anything to be written for you. For you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the return of the Lord is coming just like a thief in the night, comes unexpectedly and suddenly in the night while they were saying, peace and safety, all is well and secure. Then in a moment and an unforeseen destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains on a woman with child. And they will absolutely not escape, for there is no way of escape. The judgment of the Lord. But for you believers, everybody say believers, all who believe in Christ as Savior and acknowledge him as God the Son are not in spiritual darkness, nor held by its power, that the day of judgment would overtake you by surprise like a thief. For you are the sons of the light and sons of day. We do not belong to the night nor darkness. So then let us not sleep in spiritual indifference as the rest of the world does, but let us keep wide awake, alert and cautious, and let us be sober, self-controlled, calm and wise. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who drink drunk, get drunk at night. But since we believers belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith, love, and the helmet of hope and confident assurance of salvation. This is our life. This is being heavenly minded. This is being focused on eternity when we live like this. But too many Christians don't take their walk serious enough to live like this. And we need to. We need to start thinking like that. Like, Jesus, you could come tomorrow. And that's not to scare us. That's not to put fear, the fear that we know. It's to put the fear of God in us. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is reverencing him. Reverencing him. His holy name. Doing what we must do to stay alert. Amen? Not getting caught up. We're not those people anymore. We're not those people. God has separated us for a reason. We're his sheep. The sheep of his pasture, the Bible calls us. We're his. So our life focused on eternity, we will no longer, number one, be those who live for pleasure to please the flesh. If our life is focused on eternity, we will no longer be those who live for the pleasure to please our flesh. Number two, we will live a life of surrender and obedience. As believers, we still get to enjoy all our blessings. See, living a life of obedience and surrender doesn't mean you can't walk and be blessed. That is not at all. In fact, you can be more blessed because you have peace. You're not wrestling in your mind all the time. You're not fighting with your flesh all the time because you're surrendered. Amen? And the last thing is always remember that when we serve, that we serve a God of mercy and grace. It is his grace that set us free. It is his grace that will clean us up. And it is his grace that will get us to heaven. But we have to let the process work in our lives. Don't be that person that every time something happens to you, you run. Don't run away. Run to him. He is your Abba Father who loves you. He has mercy and grace for every situation. And the plan of the enemy is to get you to not go to him. To make you feel condemned that you can't. And that is a lie and it must be exposed. When we mess up, because we will. When we blow it, because we will. We run. We run to the Father. We don't run away. We're not those people. We didn't back out in the world. Nothing. Never. We never backed out. We always ran in. Victory Outreach, you're a special kind of people. You're unique. I was thinking about you all today a lot. I think, God, you gave us some special people. Amazing. When you discover what's inside of you, what God can do in you and through you, and you start to walk in that, Pastor and I sit back and we're in awe. We're just the shepherds that God chose to oversee your lives. And we just pray you through. And when you get to that place where we see you walking in your victory, where we see you walking in the fullness of God and in your calling, and enjoying the presence and the blessings of God, it overwhelms us with joy, and we can't even imagine how the Father feels. See, the Father loves you so much. He doesn't say no unless it's not good for you, unless it's not in his perfect will for your life. But sometimes he'll wait. Sometimes he'll allow you to go through things to get you there. All of this is the process to heaven. There is no other way. You can't go around it. There's only one gate, and the gate is Jesus. Other religions try to get there, and it doesn't work. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has a beautiful eternal plan for our lives. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. We are going to get to go see all our amazing loved ones one day. We get to go see Caitlin. We get to go see my dad, my father-in-law. We get to go see your beautiful son, Cindy. We get to go see all, Del Marie, where are you? Your beautiful son. We're going to see them again. It's not over. It's not over. Why do we get so confined to this world to think that's all there is? We have eternity, and we get to see the people. I get to see Jerry, my spiritual son, and tell him, Jerry, did you enjoy those potatoes that I was hesitant to feed you on the last day that you were alive? Because I didn't let you eat potatoes because you were a diabetic? I get to have these conversations with these beautiful people that went on to be with the Lord. You know, it kind of makes you jealous. They made it. They're done. They finished their race. And tonight I'm asking you, how are you going to finish yours? We have to start to think about that. The things that we need to do to get ourselves ready. I heard this story, and I have to share it for the sake of this message. It was about a woman. The woman was working a late night shift, and a robber, a gentleman, came in to rob the store. He had a hoodie on, and he had a gun in his hand. And not only did he rob her, but he raped her, brutally raped her. Well, she was a woman of God. And she said that he told her, I'm going to give you to the count of 2,000. Count to 2,000 and then I'll allow you to call for help. And he threatened her somehow. So she said, she just closed her eyes and began to count. And as she was counting, the scripture came to her mind. God works all things for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In the midst of her tragedy, she had the word of God on her mind. And as she counted and counted, the scripture kept rolling in her mind, and her anger that she felt and her fear turned into trust and faith, and of course she was rescued. And what she said is the way she makes it every single day of her life since then, is she wakes up and she says, God, give me the grace for today. Give me my daily bread today. Just for today. Give me the grace to forgive. Give me the grace to love, and give me the grace to live on. And guess what? God does that. See, we get so consumed with life's problems that we try to make this big old long-term plan. The long-term plan is it's done. It's finished. The price is paid. Jesus paid the price. What we have to do is by faith walk in that destiny. This woman touched my life, her story. I thought, that is a woman who has her mind on Christ. How can you think those thoughts in such a tragic time? But listen, that's where we have to get. And God wants to transform our carnal thinking into heavenly thinking. Whatsoever things are lovely, pure, just. Listen, we live in a world of corruption. At the touch of a button, we can watch anything we want on our iPads, on our phones, on our TVs. We're letting things in. These are the windows to the soul. Right here. You need to think about that really hard tonight. You have the self-control. What do you want in that soul? Are you building your soul for heaven, or are you just killing it every single day by allowing things in? I don't know who that's for tonight, but God really, really, really wants you to understand that this is not a joke. We're not playing church. We're preparing for eternity. Stand with me tonight. I know this is kind of a serious message on legacy because it's a different legacy we're talking about. It's our ultimate legacy. It's the legacy that we need to start to prepare for. And we do it by surrendering 100% to God, by faith, living every day, one day at a time, by grace and mercy, thanking him for another day of life, thanking him for the calling upon our lives, thanking him for his love upon our lives. And if you're a person that is so consumed with life and the pleasures of life and even the joys of life or the problems of life that you haven't even given this a thought, tonight this altar calls for you, because God wants to renew your passion for Him in a way that you will desire Him more than anything. And with your every head bowed and every eye closed, just begin to think about that as they begin to sing. Just to begin to think about God drawing you closer. Oh, He wants to draw you in. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
You
restore, God. Minister to you tonight. So if that's anything that has been spoken to you tonight, minister to you, and you just want that breakthrough, you want to feel His presence in a way you've never felt it before, then just come to the altar and let God, let Him just touch you tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You give life.